when things are going on, they're not notifying this council, and my phone blows up or my email blows up because things are going on. So we've had this conversation about engineering and the engineer. And unless something is done, there's going to be other actions I take think need to be discussed by this body. And it's personnel matters. Because I'm tired of this. I'm tired of this, Glenn. I've made myself clear at Public Works, whether it's been a 35th Street, you know, taking parking, you know, creating parking without coming to this council or Public Works. There's just a number of these. And I'm sick of having to be stuck in this mess. This body makes a decision. You follow it. Period. If the mayor can direct something, you know, he has the, you know, leniency or whatever to determine what priorities you have to take in that, but you can't be doing things without coming to this council. You can't spend tax dollars without getting approval from this body. I'm really tired. I feel bad that these people had to show up here tonight, because if you're the one that is at these Board of Water Commissioner meetings, how could you allow this to happen? It should never have happened. And you know, I feel bad having this conversation, but I'm fed up. And I've talked to you about this on the phone. Do we have to have a vote of confidence of the engineer? Do we have to do that? I'll put it on the next agenda. I know at least one that will help me. This has got to stop. It stops today. It's frustrating. It's frustrating for our residents to have to continue to come up here. And I'm just going to stop now.
Thank you.
All right? But this is enough. I don't need a bunch of responses. Because it's unacceptable. It's gotten to the point where it's unacceptable.
Well, let's not. Okay, there's a motion on the floor. It's been made and seconded. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Back. That's it, folks.
No water.
No water.
No survey. Thank you.
Wait, they
really,
did come
frankly,
here to listen to the whole meeting, I think.
Yeah, we should have kept it to the end.
Just two more hours.
Yeah. Frankly, I would have asked for the survey so it would have been on the record, but it's okay. It's okay. Go ahead. All right, move back to item C1. Approval of the minutes of the April 2nd meeting. Any motion?
Motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
General roll now.
Opposed?
General.
Any opposed? All those, motion carries. Item C2 is minutes from the Special Common Council of April 10th. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. C1, boards and commissions appointments.
Motion approved.
Second.
All three.
These are all my constituents, 4th District, 4th District.
Folks, can you take your conversations outside, please? Thank you. Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries, 6 ayes, no noes, no absent, no abstentions. Item F, there is a resignation in your packet. Please read it carefully. G1 is a resolution authorizing issuance of $23,465,000.
Question.
Is there a second?
Second.
Alderman Wilhelm.
This is for questions of the writers of the document. There's a couple areas in there where it says, first of all, I noticed the city clerk is giving a lot of duties on page 30. She's supposed
Ms. to. Ms. Mills, please.
It's kind of hard to concentrate right now. It says on page 30 that the city clerk shall provide and keep transcripts proceedings as a separate record book, the record book, and shall record a full and correct statement of every step proceeding. And that's typical. Okay, I didn't know if that was a finance. I just didn't want to throw anything on the clerk that might be the finance. So I'm just double checking.
It's
the other
a lot of work.
Okay. Yes. And then there's several pages that reference, like page 25, page 28, 29, and 30, when it talks about they're going to name a person. Name other such officers.
Hold
Could
it,
we
wait,
get
wait,
a
wait,
name
wait,
inserted
stop.
Into
That's
there?
Enough. Folks in the hall, please move away from the door.
Joel, get them. Get them away from this.
Paul, I'm looking at page 5 of the agreement, section 11. Section
the agreement six. Or the resolution?
No, it's the it is the resolution. It's in section 11, section 16, section 17, second paragraph, and it says the other appropriate officers of the city to enter into physical agent agreement. I just want to know who those people are. We just had an issue with unnamed people being able to change contracts. I want to know what that means and who they are. Can we put in specific names? Because on the back, there's a blank on whose name will be in there on, like, page 38. But who are these authorized officers and these legal representatives, and who will be the people that will be able to make changes?
Okay. What you received in your council packet was a draft resolution of the sale day report. This evening, your bond attorney has populated the sale day report based upon the results of today's sale.
Okay.
So once you execute this resolution can't be changed. And the fiscal paying agent will be Bond Trust Services, will be the paying agent, and the authorizing. By adopting this resolution, I think you're authorizing the mayor,
city clerk,
and the city clerk to execute the documents.
Several
and there,
places it says the mayor and the city clerk, but then it says other authorized. So I just want to make sure we know who these people are.
We didn't prepare this. Your legal bond attorney prepared this, and that's standard bond language. Now I don't know in the final resolution if there's anything different in that section.
So on the record, just so everyone's clear, who can change the contract? Say it right into the microphone.
Nobody can change the contract.
Okay.
There will be an agreement with the fiscal agent, and that agreement will be executed by the mayor and the clerk.
Okay. That answers my question. I'm good.
And is there a copy of the fiscal agent?
Joel.
It's right here.
The new one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you close the door?
No. You can't. You keep them open.
Sorry to make that confusing, but that's
okay. I see it on the new one that just got put in front of us.
All
but
right,
I was counting on what I
right,
spent
I know. And
reading
they
all weekend.
They can't prepare that final one till the,
mm-hmm.
the final result.
I understand. I'm good. No other questions?
Hey.
Kristen, could you tell your constituents either they move away from the door or we're going to give them water?
Yeah, we can still reconsider it, can't we, right now?
Sounds like they do.
Okay. Been moved and seconded. Madam Clerk, I think we need a roll call.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer. I got to go get him because he's already included in the excerpts. And
Paul, can you make that?
Okay.
What happened?
He's not feeling well.
Somebody does. I already did the excerpts.
I stole them.
And I included him in the vote. And if he leaves, then that'll be a lot of work. If you want a lot of work.
Alderman Mayor, aye. To approve the resolution?
Aye.
The bond.
It's the amended resolution, the one that was handed out to
Alderman
you.
Alderman Andrea.
Aye.
Motion carries, 6 ayes, no noes, no absence, no abstentions. Thank you. Item G2 is...
Mayor.
Alderman Barber.
Could we possibly move up to item 10? That's another item that's been talked about out of order so that can be handled and people can address it.
Let's move to item G10, a resolution to authorize execution of professional services contract with the R.A. Smith for the design of 51st Street Roundabout. Mr. City Engineer.
I know.
This is on page 357, by the way.
Why did I take out the whole ballpark? Yeah.
We've talked about the intersection of Drexel and 51st Street.
As you recall, we had Sewer PAC do an extensive study. There was public meeting at the high school even. We came back and we actually hired Ari Smith to actually do a study on the Sewer PAC study, because the Sewer PAC, they're not design engineers, so we had Ari Smith actually revise the cost estimate, being designers. So we, part of your direction last time was to have them come back with a contract for design of a roundabout. Since then, there's been a few other questions that have popped up, and so I invited Brad Severson, to actually attend and answer questions in person. I know roundabouts work, but I can't explain them as well as the design engineers.
Need your name and address, Mr. Severson.
I'm Brad Severson, N3813 Breeze Way in Freedom, Wisconsin.
Right, before we get to you, Alderman Barber.
Before you get to me. Oh. One of the concerns that's being raised by my constituents, as well as people here in the building right now or in this meeting, is the safety concerns about that particular roundabout in proximity to a fire station. It's been observed by some of my constituents that there's been delays in emergency equipment because of traffic holding up that area. There's also the concern of our senior citizens about the safety of it and the fact that it is in close proximity to the high school, where tentative driving is still to be learned in some instances. Hello?
Yeah, just got talking.
Can you hear me?
Closer.
Okay. So I was wondering, I'm not comfortable right now until I hear some assurances and there's some discussion about the safety factors that I've just raised with the fire department and the high school and the learning curve that's going to be necessary and with emergency equipment, as well as how to traverse a turnabout at that point. So that is my main concern at this point. If you can address it, I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, sure. A couple things, I guess. First off, on the emergency services and in particular the fire trucks, the design would be done to accommodate trucks getting through. We can find the size of your largest trucks, but most likely what's actually going to dictate the size of the roundabout and what it needs is trucks getting to and from the school. So the design will handle trucks or roundabouts. It'd be large enough to handle both. And in terms of kind of the operations, when an emergency vehicle goes through there, and that's a concern we hear quite a bit on a lot of roundabouts that I've worked on. Kind of the rule of thumb, what happens is if you're a driver and you're in a roundabout and there's an emergency vehicle approaching, if you're in there, get out of it. Get out of the roundabout, pull over as quickly as you can. If you're not yet in the roundabout, don't go in it yet. Pull to the side. And let that emergency vehicle through. Now, sometimes people see those flashing lights and kind of freak out, don't know what to do, panic, stop. That happens. That certainly does happen. But every piece of the design, every part of it will be wide enough that there'll be physically enough room for two vehicles side by side. We wouldn't have any pieces of it that have anything less than 20 or 22 feet between faces of curb. So that would allow vehicles to pass each other. If somebody does panic and just completely lock up. So does that kind of answer your question on the emergency services?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
The concerns that have been raised are about existing turnarounds, and these things happen in the existing turnaround. So what is going to stop that from happening at this particular location?
I know I've heard some of the concerns, particularly the one at Drexel and the Target entrance. That one is really designed as a pretty compact roundabout. You know, I don't know the history of that design, how it was done, what it was designed for. I suspect it probably wasn't designed to handle trucks. So it's a more compact. It's more like 100-foot diameter is about what that one is. The preliminary layout that we looked at for 51st and Drexel is about 133-foot diameter. So that much bigger to physically allow room to get past. The other issue you might see at that Drexel and the Target entrance is you've got a median through there and a lot longer islands. And I don't know the story of that, if that was to kind of limit access in that area. But there you have a longer stretch where if somebody does panic, you know, maybe the emergency vehicle can't get past them. With this one, it's pretty isolated. You don't have medians approaching it. The islands would be relatively short, so it would be a pretty short stretch where it might be a little narrow, but even those pieces would be wide enough to let, like I said, let two vehicles pass.
I contacted our fire chief and our police department, as well as the engineers, and they have some concerns as well, so I'm still waiting to try to figure out whether that is going to be the safest solution. I understand the tangential approach to it would be less injuries in an accident. I understand that. The idea of the learning curve of students coming out of high school and doing whatever they do and going right on through without the concern because they're doing it now. So those are my issues, and I still do not have a confirmation that that's all resolved.
In terms of, you brought up the piece by the school that it is in close proximity to the school. I am aware of several around the state that are in close proximity to schools. There's one in West Bend. I know I worked on the design of one near a school in Appleton. There's several up in the Green Bay area that I know are right next to schools and are working fine. I mean, it's not to say it's going to be 100% without incident, but you know, a signal or anything else could have issues at times too. So I will say I've got a lot of videos that we've seen of ones around schools, what happens. I've heard some concerns too. You know, what happens, geez, you know, school lets out, you got a slug of buses that's just gonna choke it off. Well, what tends to happen operationally is you've got buses, some of them are going to go through, some will make a right turn, some will make a left turn. Well, when each of them peel off to turn different directions, that'll open up gaps in the other legs. So when one bus exits, somebody waiting at the other approach, that opened up a gap for them, they can enter. And that's kind of how, just in general, how a roundabout operates well in this type of situation. And if you were to compare it to, you know, the always stop that you have now, or even a signal, the amount of delays at peak times, at school times, are expected to be less with the roundabout than they would with the other alternatives.
Alderman Nelson, you gave me that look.
Just my look.
Alderman Mayer.
I've talked about this before. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend the meeting when we put this forward. I think we're absolutely crazy putting in a roundabout there. No offense to you guys. But you're not talking about a learning curve, really. You're talking about kids that are charged coming out of the high school. And they're going to be charged up, getting out of school. They're not going to be paying attention. A signal, they have to pay attention. Roundabout, they don't. And if you look at the traffic that comes out at rush hour, you got to be there at rush hour to really appreciate this. Rush hour for the school, it's just car after car after car after car coming from the school. If you're trying to go east or west, right now you get the opportunity because there's a stop sign. But if there's just a roundabout, the cars are going to be coming constantly away from the school. And if you're trying to go east or west, you're not going to be able to get through. That combined with safety issues, that combined with the safety issues of the kids being getting out of school, being excited, not paying attention, I think it's a bad idea to put a roundabout there.
In terms of the learning curve that you mentioned, one thing that we had included in the draft contract that we put out is we would do some outreach with the school, some educational type of materials to get students and staff really up to speed on how to properly and safely drive through a roundabout. That's one of the things we would do. Operationally, you know what you said, you know, yeah, rush hour, you've got a ton of cars coming from the school and going to bottle it up. The analysis that we did, we showed with the stop control like it is now, you'd have backups of 480 feet on that south leg, kind of at schools letting out. With the roundabout, we would expect that to go down to 85 feet. So operationally, the delays and the queuing you would see are expected to be less with the roundabout. And again, like I mentioned, if you ever watch a video of one, what happens when you've got, you know, one stream just dominating like that, not everybody's going the same direction. When one peels off to the right, somebody that had been waiting on from that leg, now they've got a gap to enter. When somebody goes through, all right, somebody waiting on the north leg would be able to enter. So that's kind of how they work operationally. And you know, the volumes here, we certainly expect that just a single lane roundabout would easily handle the traffic here.
Alderman Taylor, then Alderman Wallen.
So how, I guess I have a question. So how many times has this been before us in terms of roundabout? I mean, it was during the budget process, right? I mean, that's when we adopted this dollar amount. Because what are our options if we don't do a roundabout? It's a stoplight, which costs, how much is a stoplight?
Twice as much.
Okay, and then the other option is what, doing nothing?
Improving the intersection, basically get what you've got, but then it fails pretty quickly.
It what?
It fails pretty quickly with the model.
Okay, so... This is the kind of stuff that drives me nuts. We're sitting here in middle of April. The budget came to us in the fall. We adopted a budget with $750,000, which means we're doing a roundabout. If anybody didn't see that coming, you know, unless you're going to put $1.5 million, why are we talking about this now not happening? This is the stuff that drives me nuts up here is we constantly vote and vote and vote and vote to do something, and then we get stage fright when we're actually going to do it.
I'm not changing my view at all.
No, I'm not saying, I'm just saying in general, it takes four votes to pass a budget or three with the mayor breaking the tie, so somebody had to vote for it. I don't know, did you specifically go in there and try to do an amendment to take it out and make your case known then? I don't think so, but the point is we're here now, so what's our options? Dan, Alderman Mayor, you know, if you don't want to do that and Alderman Barber doesn't want to do that, that's two, and so we just need a couple more that don't want him. I don't know. Did you give a look, Alderman Nelson?
I hate roundabouts.
Right. I hate roundabouts. So then what do we do? That's the question. If we're not going to do it, what are we going to do? You want to find another $750,000 to do something else? Then start cracking the whip and figure that out. But the point is we're here now. I'm not saying that the roundabout is the solution, but why do we always get to this point? And this is not the only issue. There's been, in my 10 years up here, I remember, well, I'm not even going to get into them, but I remember sitting for 15, you know, a year and a half in the audience for some of the council meetings when I wasn't up here, and all of a sudden we're going to have to vote on, wait, we're going to spend this kind of money? Well, we only cast seven other votes just to get here. So if we're not going to do this, that's fine, but then what's the solution? It's either do nothing with some minor improvements that fail or double down and put in our first stoplight that the city has to maintain, which is a whole other issue. So I understand, you know, that roundabouts, some of us may not like, they work elsewhere. I mean, I think we have a real bad feeling because of the one by Target. I think that's our first one was not done right. And none of us were up here when that happened. That's the best part. I mean, you were, but I mean, you were one of six. You weren't mayor. I mean, so I'm not throwing blame to you, but I mean, I'm seriously not. I am not trying to say that this is the mayor's fault at all. I'm just saying is, fine, let's not do this. Let's vote this down, but then what? Then what? And I'm sick of getting to this point where we've cast numerous votes, and then now it's like, why do we just not take it out during the budget? Like, I'm looking at you, Alderman Mayor, who said you've never been for it. Why? I mean, when I didn't like stuff in budgets, I remove them from the budget. If I mean, have a conviction and do it then. Do it at that time and say, why are we even going to put this in here? It's a bad idea.
Let's not go back and forth.
I mean, you know what I'm saying. I'm trying to get an argument.
Let me put my nickel's worth in here. Frankly, I've made no secret about the fact that I do think roundabouts work, and they work well. This one here at Target, I believe it's too small, but it works, except for your one instance where a fire truck couldn't get through because everybody stopped. And there's nothing anybody in road design can do to fix that. That's just people panicking. That roundabout got put in because...
well, tell the story so we can... I'm ready to go on this thing.
I believe that was a unanimous vote. It was because... It wasn't the last person that stood up and said, I didn't like it. I don't want it. It was because it was the right thing to do, as opposed to the last person standing up saying, I don't want it. Okay, Alderman Willem, then Alderman Nelson.
Well, I've been through intersections when people stop in the middle of an intersection, too. So that's not unique
right
to a roundabout. So let's not pretend that it is. The cost difference is huge. Since this is going to affect some of the residents in my district, they actually, the ones that are living next to it, support the roundabout because they're tired of hearing the kids squealing and stopping and rushing through and the light changes and everybody trying to get through at once. And there's a lot of noise that can be solved from the continuous flow of traffic and the idling issues and all of that. Also, it takes up less land than the other, adding more lanes and the need to buy right away. And when I look at new technology and I think about who do I turn to when I want to learn something new, I turn to my kids. I don't think that the children and the students at the school are going to have a really hard time grasping this technology. They grasp it far quicker than I do, and I can handle a roundabout. I can handle double roundabouts. And I'm getting up there. I'm a senior now. So
I'm more senior.
We can debate that later over cake or something. Okay. But so I think it's actually a disservice to ignore the fact that roundabouts are a thing. They're coming to not put one in and to try to educate the young people on roundabouts is actually a negative for the community. Now, I don't say that, you know, the seniors are less likely to change. They're going to probably have the least amount of, you know, ability to navigate in them. But the bottom line is it's called lane discipline. You stay in your lane, and no one should collide with you. I've seen these double roundabouts where people are going around the roundabout, and they think just because they're going around a roundabout, they can just come over into your lane. This is a single roundabout. We're not going to have that issue. And if we do have the accident type and stuff, the fatalities are proven there aren't fatalities. And that, to me, saving lives is extremely important when it comes to safety. Right now it's a mess. It's graded at what, an F? The lowest possible intersection we could have. So we can delay this and continue on until someone gets killed, or we can try to do something within the money in our budget. And I understand it's a split. I hear it up on the council, there's a split. I hear it in the residents, there's a split. But we have to do something, and unless someone's going to come forward with a big grant and a big pot of money to give us, it's not going to get done. And that would be a shame to not make some kind of changes to that intersection. So,
Alderman Nelson, then Alderman Mayer.
Well, those high school opened up in 62. Alderman Mayer graduated shortly after that, and I was 86. and that's just been an on. Oh no. And that's just been an ongoing thing from day one, you know. And I guess looking at our total fiscal picture and looking at the Band-Aid that could be put on there now, you know, I'm looking at, okay, are we going to have death and destruction? Are the roads going to cave in if we don't go through with this? No. School's been here since 62. We're pretty much at the cap of what we're going to have for students, so we're not going to have this big expansion in students. And to say that you're going to go out there right now and educate one, great. Well, next year the sophomore class gets their licenses, and it's going to have to be an annual thing. I believe it's going to be an issue. I think right now we're not going to have to expand any more land. We make some improvements. And I guess I'm missing what the big emergent thing is. I mean, are we having, from what I've understood from the chief and both chiefs, we're not experiencing a lot of crashes. There's going to be crashes every year with the new drivers. And now, like when we went, obviously nobody had phones. You had the best rock music ever made. That's what you listened to loudly, but you didn't have phones to worry about. I just think that's a whole attention span thing, they're not paying attention to the driving thing. I think that's where the major challenge is. There's a cost with this, and just wondering if that's still an option to simply be able to fix what's there now and be done with it, since it's been, you know, that's it. That's all I have.
Alderman Mayer.
Last time I remember it, I thought there were three options. One was roundabout, one was turn lanes, one was expanding, and that's the last that I remember hearing about it. I don't know that any decisions were made during the budget time, but if I'm not in favor of it, I'm still going to vote no, and that's the way the process works. If enough people vote for it, then it's going to go through, but I'm not going to change my vote because of that. The other thing is Alderwoman Wilhelm was talking